Day. Happy Father's Day to all. I want to thank the Lord this morning for and praise the Lord for all the prayers of fathers for their children. I remember when my father prayed for us, and I want to thank you that the Lord is, he's with the Lord right now in heaven and rejoicing and praising the Lord. And so I do remember and thank God for his words of prayer and comfort and his time of discipline with us and his warnings and actions of love and the many things that we enjoy about my father. And so I thank him for being, a listening ear to me and to our family. It's amazing to know that right now, at this particular time of our lives, we have at least three fathers. Most of us do. And we clearly know that most people have one father, and which is their earthly father. And then we'll study today about the Heavenly Father. And also, we know that there are many spiritual fathers that we have. So we have either one or many. And I thank God in the assembly today, but even though my physical earthly father is missing, I do have many spiritual fathers here. And we think of the elders and all the older folks that are around. Each of us can just learn to enjoy all the many spiritual fathers that are so different, but yet all in Christ, it's just one. And we can rejoice with that we have each other to give God the glory and the strength to impart unto us knowledge and understanding and wisdom and kind words to just keep us going. So with that, we can turn our scriptures this morning as we begin to look in the book of Exodus, chapter 3. Just a few words there as we think of the conclusion that the Lord Jesus Christ also hath a Father, and so we'll start in the Old Testament and explore some characteristics here and then move on to the New Testament. So let's look at Exodus chapter 3 and verse 6. Dear God and Heavenly Father, as we begin to open your word to us, we ask that you would just continue to bless us and give us understanding as we read. And may we, O Father, learn from it, and we can have the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. May we get to know who you are, and then we can learn to live for you and glorify you in all the things that we do. And bless this time together, we pray, in Jesus' most precious holy name. Amen. Okay, our passage is just beginning in chapter 3 and verse 6. It says there that God is speaking unto Moses, and he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, and he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt. And I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey and so forth. And so we find here something that God had spoke to Moses. He came out and spoke to Moses, and he said, I am the God of your father. We have a God here that is spoke in audible voice that he could understand. We have a God here that sees. He saw the affliction that was of his people at that time who were in Egypt. We have a God here that that hears. He heard. In a sense, the scripture says the reasoning, the actions of the taskmasters. And he also knows. We have a God that knows. He knows their sorrows. He knows our pain. And we have a God here that said, I'm going to come down and deliver. He takes action. And so Moses was had now been learning about this God, that the God of his grandfathers, in a sense. And so God revealed himself to Moses, and in many various passages you find how he did so as Moses learned to know more about this God. And very well so, we can find out in the New Testament another type of a relationship about our God, and that is, let's look at Matthew chapter 1. It says here that we think of the New Testament and we think of our Lord Jesus Christ, who spoke about his Father. And we'll not focus more on what it says there in Matthew chapter 1, which is Joseph was his father. That was his earthly, like a stepfather. But he was described in verse 18 as a just man, right? One that is righteous and one that has a good character. But he was indeed the husband of Mary, and he was the earthly father to Mary and her children. But we think about it, in John chapter 1, we're introduced to someone else. John chapter 1. And we find there that in John chapter 1, not Matthew, but John chapter 1 and verse 14, it says here, and the Word, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, became flesh. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as to the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word became flesh. John the writer says, I actually saw his glory, in a sense, the only begotten of the Father, the only one, this unique one, the Lord Jesus Christ, is one of a kind. It was full of grace and truth. And in verse 18, it says, no man had seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, again, we're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, who is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Only our Lord Jesus Christ had seen God. And so we find there that at a time when Jesus was baptized, in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 16, when Jesus was baptized, it says there, the scripture says that as he came out from the water where John was baptizing him, it says he went straight out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, which is John seeing this, and lighting upon him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The Father had spoken, and he spoke and said, this is my beloved Son. Our Father seen his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we find here that he understands and he feels, he has pleasure in what the Son was doing. He was pleased with his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we find here that now a passage we can turn to is Jesus then referred to God as his Father. Many times in Scripture we find here that Jesus referred to God as his Father. He says that my Father knows and he teaches. My Father gives. I and my Father are one. No one is able to pluck anyone out of my hand. And if we just turn to John chapter 14, we'll find a couple comments. We can't just focus on all of them, but there are some that are just, we can highlight in John chapter 14 about the Father. As Jesus referred to God as his Father, he says there in John chapter 14, and just look in verse 20, he says, at that day you shall know I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. And he that hath my commandment and keepeth them, he it is that love me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Verse 23, if any man love me, Jesus is saying, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and will come unto him, and make our abode in him. So we have here, when Jesus is now speaking of his Father, we see that relationship, that fellowship, that not only that Jesus has with us, but we also see the relationship that Jesus' Father, my Father, he says here, loves you. And if we keep his commandments and keep his words, our God the Father makes his abode, he comes and lives in you. And he does that through his word of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, which in verse 26, our Lord Jesus says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I say unto you. So we have here the Comforter, we have the Holy Spirit, and we have God dwelling in you. You know, we also find in the scripture that Jesus referred to God as, O my Father. In a time when he was praying at a time it would be just in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he cried out unto God, and he said, O my Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. And you know, in Mark it also describes it, it says, Abba Father, which is my daddy, all things are possible unto me. You know, take this cup away from me. So there's a personal relationship that our Lord Jesus had with his Father. Our Lord Jesus also referred to God as my Heavenly Father. And he also referred to God as my Father, which is in heaven. So one of the concepts that our Lord introduced to us is the concept that is new in the New Testament, that he's just not the Father of the Lord Jesus that is in heaven, but he introduced the concept that God can be your Father. He can be your Father, which is in heaven. So how is it possible that you can have a Father in heaven? Just think of Matthew chapter 5, and this is where we can focus for a moment, some time in Matthew chapter 5 and chapter 6, in where these words come from our Lord Jesus Christ. These words of the blessed in verse 3, all the Beatitudes, we call them, and it's all the words that come out, blessed, blessed, blessed. And we'll just look at these words all the time, because it says here that Jesus is teaching his disciples. He's teaching his disciples. And he taught them, and he said there in verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are those, in a sense, who are spiritually prosperous, right? Happy to be admired. Those are poor in spirit. Those are devoid of all spiritual arrogance, in a sense, and those regard themselves as insignificant. And we find that these attitudes will, in a sense, lead us to understand how is it that you can have God as your Father. It says in verse 4, blessed are they that mourn, right? Blessed are they that mourn. And it's in the mourning, in a sense, is over their sins, a form of repentance, right? For they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek. In a sense here, we look at those that have they've been forgiven, refreshed by God, those that inward have peace in their lives, and were spiritually secure and worthy of respect, the meek, the humble, the kind-hearted, the sweet-hearted, people who are in self-control, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. We kind of heard about that this morning in the giving of the Bibles to those that have graduated, a hunger for God, right? They hunger for him. They seek after God, you know, to have a right standing with God. We find that they will be filled. They'll be satisfied. And blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And blessed are the pure in heart, in verse 9. For they shall be called, for they shall seek God, they shall see God. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs are the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when men shall have reviled you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted they the prophets that were before you. So we find here that, again, when Jesus described all these beatitudes, in a sense, all these blessed attitudes that you can have, here is where it leads to. You, in verse 13, can become the salt of the earth. Verse 14, you are the light of the world. And verse 16, it says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Knowing your Father in heaven, as referring to that, Jesus said there in a couple of verses down, again, these attitudes as we lead to understand who is your Father in heaven. It says in verse 44, I say unto you, he's speaking of loving your neighbor. In verse 44, I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. That, here it is, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. So we have these attitudes that the Lord is speaking of the people, of the children that we can have, that if you demonstrate love and bless the people that curse you, and if you do good to them that hate you, and you pray for them, and you also think of all the verses we just read from verses 3 to verse 12 or so, all those attitudes together, you then, in a sense, when by your attitudes changing, your life's changing, you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. So let's look at a couple other verses here. It says about our Father which is in heaven. It says there in verse 48, it says, be you therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven. Perfect, in a sense of growing into knowledge and spiritual maturity, also in your mind and in your character before God. Something that you're doing actively in your daily life as you get more closer to understanding perfection in Christ. But we know that in your Father in heaven is perfect. We don't have many earthly fathers that's perfect. And we all wish we do, but we can't. And until they come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, they will always continue to show imperfection. And even when, here on earth, we've trusted him, there is imperfection. But every day we draw closer and closer to being perfect, to understanding who God is. But we know that our Father in heaven is certainly perfect. In chapter 6, we find there in chapter 6, verses 1, 4, and 6, that our Father in heaven rewards you. It says, if you give in secret or pray in secret, your Father in heaven rewards you. Your Father in heaven sees, in chapter 6, verse 4, 6, and 18, it says there that he sees you in secret. And he sees you in secret giving and praying and fasting. It says here your Father in heaven knows. He says he knows your needs before you ask. He knows all your needs. In verse chapter 6, verse 14 and 15, it talks about the fact that your Father in heaven forgives you if you forgive others. He feeds the birds, how much more will he feed you? Our Father in heaven knows how to give good things if you ask of him. And we find here, there's a couple more things that we can think of our Father in heaven. He is merciful. He says, be ye mercy because your Father is also mercy. That's in Luke. And we know that in chapter 6 of Matthew, it says, your Father is holy. Hallowed be his name. His name is holy. We find that he's also righteous. In John chapter 17, we find there that when Jesus prayed to God, to you, he says, O righteous Father. So we have a Father in heaven who hears us, who sees us, who knows us, he forgives us. He is a righteous one. And then now let's think of the fact that what John says. How is it that we can become a child of God? Let's look at John chapter 1 and verse 12. These are very familiar passages to you. And we find here in the scripture it says, but as many as receive him, to them he gives the power, the authority to become the sons of God. We're all children of God, sons and daughters of God. And even to them that believe on his name. And we are not born. It says, which were not born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but you're born of God. So you become a child of God when you're born of God because you have received the Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4. Again, another familiar passage. It says there, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And so it says here, and because you are sons, because you are children, daughters, sons and daughters of God, God sent forth his Spirit into his Son, into your hearts, where you can cry, Abba, Father. You can cry unto God and say, he is my daddy. That's what it means. We also read and sung in a song earlier. It says in 1 John, behold, what manner of love the Father had bestowed. He has given unto us. What an incredible thing that the Lord has given unto us, that we can become sons and daughters of our Lord Jesus, of our God. We can become sons and daughters of God. Therefore, the world knoweth not us because it knew not him. We can, what an incredible thing that occurred, that God showed his love, that we can become children of God. For the many, Romans 8 says, that are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 11. We can enjoy this little passage here because what it says that you become. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 11. It says, now God himself, our Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ, direct our way unto you, and the Lord make you increase and abound in love one toward another, toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all saints. What an experience we can have here. Our hearts to be established unblameable in holiness before God, our Father. So this is a transformation that occurs when we have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior and God becomes our Father. We become unblameable. The same God that spoke to Moses, the same God that spoke to Moses about his grandparents, that was able to talk and to hear and to see and to know and to deliver, is the same God that we heard when Jesus was baptized, that spoke and says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. He also saw, he understands, he has feelings." And then we have here clearly that God said that in Hebrews it said God had spoken in various times and manners. In the past he spoke to the prophets, but now he is speaking through his Son. In these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. As we heard a quote earlier, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come unto the Father but by me." If we listen to Jesus and we read his word, and even like this morning we heard the words in Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 7. He says there that everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. Revelation chapter 4, it says, "For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are created." We find here that we have a purpose in life. If we have a purpose to glorify God, and we have a purpose to find pleasure. God finds pleasure in us when we have trusted in him. Our purpose in life here is to bring glory and pleasure to God. The best gift we can have for our Heavenly Father is to let your light shine before men, that you may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. God is being glorified. And John 15:8, it says, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples." This is what brings the greatest pleasure to God. And it's the greatest gift that we can have to God our Father. So let's close in a word of prayer. Dear God, we just come before you now and thank you for you being our Heavenly Father. We thank you, O Lord, that we can come and depend upon you, trust in you, knowing that you see us, knowing that you hear our cry, knowing that you can hear us through our prayers, knowing, O Father, that you can understand our needs and you can provide for them. We ask, O Father, as we do live in this world, as we go out and from here, one with another, and we pass through, we ask that we should understand what the scripture says, that love not the world, neither things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And we find, O God, all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of life, the pride of life. The pride is not of the Father, but of the world. And we ask, O God, that we can be transformed and renewed into trusting you and depending upon you, and not going back to the ways that we lived before, but we can go forward giving God our glory. It's being our purpose that we can give God our pleasure by continuing to bear much fruit, and by continuing to be his disciple, and by continuing to be an example to the world in where we live. As we heard our Jesus said, "You are lights in this world. You are salt in this world. Let your light so shine and glorify your Father which is in heaven." We thank you, O Lord, this morning that we can be a child of God. We can become sons and daughters of God. And what an incredible thing it is that the God of the universe has pleasure in us. And we ask, O God, it takes pleasure in us, and we ask, O God, that we would just learn to understand how it is that we are to be holy in Christ Jesus our Lord, knowing that it is that he, you give us strength, and that we are kept by the power of God. We thank you, O Lord, that we can be perfect in Christ Jesus. And every day as we learn to feed upon your word, we will grow and change and be transformed and be renewed. And one day, O Lord, as the scripture says, that we shall see you as he is, and we shall be like you. And so we just thank you, O God, for that wonderful transformation that will once again occur in our lives, where we don't understand what it shall be, but we know, O God, one day you're coming and appearing, and our lives will be continuing to be changed. We thank you that we are now in the image of God. There is nothing to desire but you, O Lord. And so let us continue, O Lord, to just depend upon you and trust in you for guidance and for help. We pray this now in the precious and most holy name, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. May we sing in closing a hymn as we sung earlier this morning, number 30 in the red book. Number 30 in the red book.
Number 30.